Okay, I'd like to call to order the council meeting organization of the Carmengie. Our Village of Carmengie council meeting at
7:20.
Can I get someone to approve the agenda for Tuesday, October 28th?
I do have one small addition, and I apologize.
Okay.
If I can add it into new business, 11D, we just need a motion to delay Deputy Mayor Nichols' training to Saturday before any business can. We just need a motion for that.
All in favor? Okay, we have a guest, our South Girl presentation, Mr. Peter Cassarella. Peter, if you would like to take over.
How much do you want me to take here?
Doesn't matter.
I talk a lot, so I'll try to be brief because I appreciate you have a big meeting to go through.
Okay.
Thanks for having me here today. My name is Peter Cassarella. I'm the Executive Director of the South Girl Regional Initiative. You all have a copy? Yeah. I'm not going to go through everything in here. It's a lot of boilerplates.
Do you want this?
It's up to you. You've all got...
We've got it here, and I looked at them. Yeah.
And I've sent along the annual report we look over to. This is the board tells me to get up to 40% of our members every year in order to report directly to council on what your tax dollars are doing in the Regional Economic Development Alliance. So I run the South Girl Regional Economic Development Alliance, which is a... collaboration between 29 communities right now in southern Alberta, plus a bunch of associate members of as well, institutions, college and university, or other businesses who have an interest in collaborating on regional economic development projects. So South Grow has been in place since 2004 when we were first incorporated, set up by the government of Alberta under the Klein years as an experiment in cooperation between provincial government and municipalities that carve the province into a whole bunch of different areas that have common economic interest. And the South Grow region is in south central Alberta here. It's an area about the size of Belgium. Carmengie is almost exactly in the middle, just looks a little bit to the north of the middle. We go up to Arrowwood and down to the border on the south, out to Cardston on the west, and as far as foremost of Bowen on the far east. So it's a big area, and agri-food obviously is the primary economic driver of the region, and most of our efforts focus on that. So we do projects that all of our communities have a shared interest in seeing go ahead, because they're things that create opportunities across the region, but none of the communities actually have the mandate themselves to do them. They're bigger than any one community. We can talk about some of the examples. I'll flip forward to the page there that shows you an example of projects that have been formed investments over the years. A lot of our work has involved doing large-scale economic studies and then the implementation of the actions that come out of those studies. So, for example, we spent almost a solid decade, my predecessor and then me carrying on, working on building up connectivity in southern Alberta. So in the early days, we studied, okay, what is the connectivity landscape? What are the means forward that we can actually get connectivity built out across the region? And then hammering away, building partnerships, advocating for government grant funding for our regions, putting together projects to enhance connectivity. In Carmengie, we did a project just a few years ago before Starlink rolled up everywhere and changed the entire landscape, where we did a P3 where the government leaned on Axia Bell to bring their price down. South Grow put in money, and five communities across Fulton County all put in $5,000 each as well. And then your local Wi-Fi or internet service provider put in the other half of the money. And we upgraded all the POP sites across Fulton County to allow him to then roll out faster wireless internet service across the entire region. This was a massive win. It was a huge collaboration between private industry, local municipalities, and the province of Alberta, and Axia Bell, the government strong arm, did come to the table and play nicely with us. And the result was is that WhiteFiber was able to offer higher speeds and higher services. The POP sites are the on-ramp to the internet, and basically we widen their ability to take more traffic across. So this is an example of the kind of projects that we work on. We do a lot of global marketing for Southern Alberta, too. We've spent, we're in our fourth year now, of marketing Southern Alberta as a destination for agri-food investments to the world. I think we'll crack 100 million views of our ads over 4 years in Europe, North America, and now venturing into Asia and doing advertising over there as well. And I'm excited for what's ahead. So you've got a list on the next page, the 2024 to 2025. This just gives you a list of the stuff that we worked on last year. These are the projects that we reported on in our annual report, which has been sent around to you. And I can talk about a few of those links to give you a better flavor of the kind of projects that we do work on. So some of the highlights in 2024 is that we wrapped up a four-year-long project where we were doing service delivery for the Government of Canada to Enercan. This was a great play that we were able to do because we got a lot of administrative funding from the Government of Canada to help supplement our budget. And we basically worked to pass through funding from the federal government to organizations across Alberta, private businesses, municipalities, and other organizations and nonprofits to build EV charging infrastructure. We partnered heavily with Alberta municipalities. We actually... they hired them as a subcontractor to do our program management for us, and we managed to just like pass through all the money and get everybody paid. And when we started this project, there was about 200 publicly facing EV charging stations in the province, and today there's over 1,000. We built over 200 ourselves. Other organizations built some more. But it was a big flex for a little organization like ours and proved that we can do high-level program delivery for the federal government in a rural setting as well. Our Economic Development Summit, which is a Southern Alberta-focused summit that focuses on the issues that matter to the communities on economic development in Southern Alberta. We've held it in this room before a few years ago. A couple years ago, we decided we want to go bigger with this, but we don't have the capacity to do it ourselves. So we partnered with half a dozen other organizations around Southern Alberta who all came to the table with us, helped us collect a bigger pot of funding. Last year, we had almost 200 people packed out in a room down in the Agri-Food Hub down in Lethbridge. We got world-class speakers in. It's going to be similarly large this year as well. And we're looking forward, based on the success we've seen here, at seeing if we can pull off an egg producer-focused summit in Southern Alberta to focus on farmers and the families and workers who live there on the farms, not on big tech, not on big corporations, but on the farmers in the fields. Our friends over in Medicine Hat started this up a couple of years ago. I think they've more than validated that there's hunger for this and a business case for it. And our folks won't have to go to Calgary or Medicine Hat to participate in it. So watch for that coming forward. We have a new strategic framework as well. This was put in place as we did our four-year review just last fall. And we heard clearly from our board that they like that we're, you know, doing all this regional work, but communities are really, really suffering and hurting on the ground and wanting to see more work in the community. We do have a lot of expertise. We have the second largest economic development shop in Southern Alberta after our friends at Economic Development Lethbridge. I've got 7 staff who work with me. We've got some muscle and flexibility, and we can flex it. It's not all contracted by Southgrove, but we've got a big brain trust who knows how to do things. So in our current plan, we went out last year and got a grant from the government of Alberta and matched it against our own funds that we put in. And I hired a girl out of Bow Island named Michaela Gross. Some of you may have already talked to her. And she's working together with a couple other members of the team to build out individual economic development recommendations for all of our communities across Southern Alberta. It's a big project. We've done it before in 2012. And they're most of the way through, halfway through the interviewing right now. There's over 200 interviews that they're trying to get folks on the phone for. So it's a lot of phone calling. Each interview is like half hour long. So it's big hours of manpower going into it. But in 2012, when I go to other communities and I talk about the impact of this program, I always talk about you guys. Because you took the plan in 2012, and you slowly and carefully over a decade actioned almost everything that was in the recommendations in that plan. You built out a solar array, you renovated this space, bought the building, and created this community center right here. You worked with us on the pop site upgrade to get connectivity for the village. You put out the blade up front as a tourism attraction. You deploy light industrial lots. You ground your way carefully and progressively through all of those items. And for a small village, that's really impressive. We stuck the course. And it wasn't always easy, but I think that you're probably seeing a lot of benefits from that. I mean, this has been a gathering place for sure. The internet has been a big win. You know, the light industrial lot slowly getting, you know, bought up and leased out, you know, meeting that egg servicing demand that's out there. And this is what we're trying to replicate today. There's a few other communities that really took those plans and ran with them. We don't dictate to you what you do with your time, but they're recommendations from experts, things that would work for you. And before a final draft is presented, Michaela or Morgan will come back and run through the recommendations with you to make sure that they're right-sized. and that they fit and they resonate with council and your priorities too, so we can, you know, get it set the way you like it, so you can feel a sense of ownership and comfortability over those recommendations. We also have our grant advising program. So me and my team run a ton of grants. We can't write the grants for you at South Grow, but the board has worked into our operational plan that if you need help with grants, or sometimes more importantly, your community associations need help with grants, and you're swamped, because being a CAO is three full-time jobs all rolled into one, send them to us. My team are experts at this. We have a lady named Penny Dagnon from Rentham. She worked at the university for 15 years before we sold her away. She came to work for us. She knows exactly what she's doing. So offload that responsibility on us. Send them our way. We'll give them the best advice in the industry. If there's money out there to find, we can coach them on how to chase it, how to staff the grants, how to write them. We can give them advice. We've successfully done this all across Southern Alberta, and it's a free service that's available through your self-grow membership for you to lean into and to take some of the weight off of your administrator's shoulders as well. So make sure you lean into that too. Highway 3 continues to be a core focus going into 2026. So South Grow has been kind of like the engine on the backstop of the Highway 3 Community Development Association for a long time. And when we talk about regional impact projects, this is one of them. Up here in Vulcan County, we sometimes forget the importance of Highway 3. It really is a vital trade corridor that twinning that highway will improve the investment potential of Southern Alberta extensively. And because we pull crops off the fields all the way from Vulcan County down into the industrial heartland of the region, it impacts here as well. So next year, we're going to be chasing together federal funding, if it can be got. Because the feds have made a lot of big promises to their NATO members, and they have a ton of money that they have to print and spend. And they prefer to spend it on infrastructure than on weapons, because this is Canada. And if we can meet our NATO commitments by spending money on infrastructure, let's get some of this for Southern Alberta. So we've already had conversations at the Highway 3 table and at the South Grow executive level. It's probably coming forward as a recommendation to put, you know, some of our capacity behind that to chase it, leverage some of our political capital that the reader brings to the table, and pair it against Highway 3 to go after that. And a few other things, our supply chain identification project. So this was a big study that we finished off. It started in the COVID years when we were like, hey, we need to figure out what our supply chains are so we can, you know, try to get a handle on the crippling economic conditions we're dealing with. It took forever to get it funded, then it took forever to complete it, and by the time I got the study on my desk, completed from the consultants, I thought it was a dead duck. I thought this was like, wow, we spent all this taxpayer money for nothing, because this is way too late. And then Trump 2.0 happened. And all of a sudden, that study's become incredibly useful. So we pivoted and set up a task force, Self Grow and Economic Development Westbridge and a few of the other like-minded organizations, to look at what we could do on the tariff relief side of things, on the trade diversification side. And so South Grove put up our hand and said, we want to work on export development, because we've never really done that. We're very used to just selling everything we grow in Southern Alberta overseas, and it comes easily, and our businesses are good at it, so there's not much room typically for people like me to play in there. We focus on investment attraction. How can we bring money here? But given that our primary trade partner is extraordinarily unreliable all of a sudden, we've been looking overseas. So I did a bunch of research last spring, and everything was pointing in the right direction of Japan. And I was talking to my friends in the federal government and the provincial government, they're all like, yeah, you need to be coming to Japan. So John Tricato from the Municipal District of Tabor, him and I just got back from Japan, actually. We went to Health Ingredients Japan. We met with the Canadians who are working in the market over there, and we met with some Alberta businesses who are already there and getting help into the Japanese market. These are folks who are working in agri-food, like guys are setting up the Balamine plants up in Strathmore. They're currently exporting out of the Alberta Food Center, and now they're selling increasing volumes to Japan and building the business case to build a giant fractionation plant up on Highway 1. And we did a bunch of fact-finding. We were over there, and we're like, yeah, we need to share the information on market entry with our growers' associations. So that's forthcoming. We're trying to set up this session to talk to our old growers about, like, this is how you get into a market like Japan. And if you are people and you help getting into those markets, there's resources that exist to help you get there. And also, that study coming around to being useful again, they're like, listen, if you only knew what the supply chains in your region were like, we could look through it and tell you exactly where the right people are to talk to. And I'm about me. So me and my team are trying to condense that giant study right now into the critical information that folks in Asia need, and then they've committed to telling us what the right targets are so that we can go back to the appropriate growers associations and their members and say, guys, this is an opportunity. There's an opportunity to expand or diversify or redirect your trade to this market here, which is a reliable trade. So that's another example of stuff. Blackwood Science Project is in going into year three now. Last year we funded 123 sites across the region. This is our commitment to, you guys got some work?
Yep.
Yes,
yep.
Actually did. This is the board's commitment to reconciliation, something that the board feels that they can meaningfully play in, and it's been really, really useful. Like, our relationships with the Blood Tribe have gone up and up and up since we started this, and it's been awesome because it's a lot easier to get hold of a phone, which is always great. And partnerships with the Blood Tribe from an economic development lens are very useful, because if you can partner with the tribe on something, the grants are guaranteed. So there's a lot of mutual wins that we can get there from building that relationship. And happy to talk about anything more I put on there. On the next page, in the interest of time, I'll just move on. 2025 to 2026, this is our current work plan that we're going through right there. A couple things to note in there. Energy has consumed a lot of my time. When you talk about regional work, which informs opportunities in Southern Alberta, we're going through a massive sea change in the province of Alberta. Not many people in the public understand this giant pile of work that's happening. The energy environment, the industry has radically changed. One of the most successful things Southgrew ever did was go out and tell the story about renewable energy investment in Southern Alberta. And we got billions of dollars of investment done. Travers, all of the other investments which saved bacon of a lot of our counties. Folks over at the MD Willow Creek, as much as they are raging against renewable energy, can straight up say, I'll openly admit, it's taken us from rags to riches. But it was a gold rush, and it broke the policy environment, and there was legitimate abuses across the road. Don't get me started on ADO winds above the plains and that push loss up there. And things needed to be fixed. And so the past 3 years now have been a journey with the government of Alberta in policy. And we've been very, very lucky to be at the table with the entire staff. And we're one of few rural organizations who's at the table with the Energy Futures Lab, advising government and making sure that rural priorities are kept front and center. And I guarantee you, if we were not there counting our fists on the table, myself, Kim Welby, and other folks like Tristan Walker from Pitcher Creek, etc., that we would not be getting airtime and recognition for things like standing from our municipalities in the appeals process and in the land siting process and approvals process for the ISO, which we now have. Municipalities now, as of just a month ago, have standing with the AUC, and that means that an energy company can't come in and just build a project without the approval and involvement of the municipality before they could, which is how things like Buffalo Boats happen. Having said that, there was still room for lots of investments in Southern Alberta, and most of our counties still wanted investments as long as it was in the right spots with the right conditions. But then locational marginal pricing just came in last month as well, and renewable energy investments in Southern Alberta have been shut down quickly. The new opportunities are on battery tech. There is huge opportunity for a gold rush on battery tech to stabilize the grid, and it was actually a very, very smart policy from the government of Alberta. It rankles to lose billions of dollars of investment that was going to come here, but the battery opportunity is going to be a gold rush. The government's basically put a price mechanism in place which wildly incentivizes companies, especially the existing incumbents like Travers, to build a ton of battery backup. And batteries have also been coming down and down and down and down and down in price, similar to how solar did back in the 2010s, and are becoming economically viable fast. So all that to say is that we view energy as one of the most important inputs into our economy, and the demand across society for energy is going up and up and up and up. And one of the critical pieces of work that we've been doing quietly in the background is ensuring that as we go through this transition into a more modern policy environment, that rural Alberta is not left behind. And I wish more people understood how the work that we've done and how proud I am of it. This is really proud of it. I'm happy to answer questions or talk about that at any point in the future. I'll skip over the slide on regional challenges. There's a lot we could talk about some rural sideline issues in particular, and how frustrating people sometimes be to, you know, feel like we elected this government and now we are not getting policy that really favors us or speaks to our priorities. Carbon Gate's immediate opportunities. leading into the sports that we've got. We've got the community active plan, which will be coming forward in early 2026 once my team starts writing and getting drafts and getting feedback and coming and talking to you about it. The grant support hotline, obviously, this is something that's an easy win that we can take and give you, alleviate some of your capacity constraints yourself and help out directly on the ground. Never hesitate to pick up the phone and call us too if you just need a connection or a resource or need to know where something is or advice. Leveraging residential growth opportunities as well. Every community seems to be stuck and growing. I mean, I'm sure you guys are having the exact same thing here that everybody else is. As soon as the house comes up, it goes. It's hard to build in residential to get it ready, especially on village budgets. But there's some creative solutions out there, and I expect that we're going to be seeing a lot of new supports coming down the pipeline in the next year from the Carney government. They've been using the printing machine in Ottawa like that. There will be a lot of money available for these kind of projects. And, of course, leading into home-based and small businesses, these things will be reflected in some of the recommendations that come down in the plan. I'm happy to answer any questions about what we're working on, what we should be working on. Sustainability of South Grow, always an issue. And I yield my time.
Can I ask you, I just missed what you said was going in at Strathmore. There's something going in at Strathmore to get...
Fallowbean fractionation.
A fallowbean, okay.
Yeah.
So I didn't get what word you said.
Yeah, they came down to Southern Alberta a couple of years ago, and they were lurking around Highway 3 corridor looking for a site selection, and they ended up in Strathmore because, according to this one guy, Chris, who's one of the owners, there's better growing conditions up there for fallowbean around that area in the irrigation district, which is like, well,
we'll give them that one.
There's room for a lot more fractionation in the region, that's for sure. Especially since dry fractionation has come of age. So before the pandemic, dry fractionation was experimental and expensive. But now the price has really come down and it's exploding everywhere because it's much more economical in current day. And wet fractionation uses a lot less resources.
What is fractionation?
I was just going to say.
So, we grew some fallowbean this year, so I'm curious what this
fractionation is where you take and you extract the protein out of things like peas or fava beans or lentils, and you pull out that protein in such a way, you dry it all nice and carefully, that it can be used as an ingredient. And then that protein is put into so many different foods that you and I eat. You can now buy protein infused everything, and this has been a revolution that we've seen over the past 10 years, right? Which has been incredibly useful for those of us who have little kids, because some of you have experience where it's impossible to get protein into these kids. But now we can buy milk. My wife and I, it's expensive milk, but it's infused with protein. And I know that they're getting enough protein to help their brains develop properly. I have a personal goal. I make tater tots sometimes, like from scratch with potatoes, but I want to put pea protein inside those tater tots and take them to the farmer's market and see what they sell.
But protein's the new biggest, oldest, biggest, newest, biggest thing again.
And we grow tons of lentils and protein crops here in Southern Alberta. Dry growing conditions, irrigated farmland. There's a startup for a pea fractionation plant in Lethbridge, which has been trying to get going for a few years. They've got technological hurdles that they've had to go through, but they've got a pilot facility. It's like a $30 million pilot facility. Then they're trying to build that $150 million full-scale plant down there.
Wow.
And then there's the fabric feeding place that started up in Strathmore as well. There's a couple out in Saskatchewan. There's a giant one by Rockette, a European company that's been set up in Manitoba. There's room for probably half a dozen fractionation facilities across Southern Alberta. About 4 potato plants now and the sugar beet facility. Yeah, these things can all fit into the rotations.
Exciting.
Well, Peter, thank you very much for the presentation. I am proud to be part of South Grow. I look forward to every meeting that we have. And they do nothing but good things.
Have them tell you about the border wall at some point.
Oh, yes. Did you bring a picture? I've got one at home. Maybe I'll bring it down to the next meeting.
Yeah, that's all. I have one of those.
Doug kind of hogged that one, I gotta say.
No, I am.
You guys do a lot of good things.
We do.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We really appreciate it, and thank you very much.
Before Doug came along, I got to sit on South Grove.
Were you there when Pete Levering was on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And before Pete, when Linda Erickson and Mary were there and Shelpa. I can remember sitting in Lethbridge, and there was a speaker that said that if Canada doesn't change their ways in the export-import industry, in 10 years, our markets are going to flip. Like, they're going to, we have to get thinking outside of the box. And people, like, outwardly laughed at this guy. And now you look at where we are now, and I was like, he kind of was on to something. But they just scoffed at him. And he said, we rely too heavily on our exports. And, yeah, and here we are today.
Someday I'll have to tell you about the storage container of insanity that Mary created that I got to a character discovery. She printed off every email, scanned and photocopied every report, filed them all into giant binders and stuffed them diligently away into a storage container. It was a 10 by 10 storage container from floor to ceiling filled with boxes of papers.
Oh my word. Oh my word.
Wow.
But that was back when it was a government funded, like directly government funded office. Thank you for having me, Mayor.
Thank you very much, Peter.
Best luck to me.
Thank you.
See you at the next meeting.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, I guess we'll go on to question period. Is there any nothing? Okay. Then can I have a motion to approve the minutes of Tuesday, September 16th, for our last regular council meeting?
I can approve those. I didn't see anything, any errors or omissions.
Okay. All in favor? Now, can I get approval for the minutes of Tuesday, October 7th? That was our special council meeting. It again.
I can make a motion.
Okay. I'm here for it. So I
right.
Think
yep.
Can.
Yeah. All in favor? Carried. Okay, our public works report is on page 9 to 16. There's anything in there that anyone noticed?
I was assuming that the Finning cat came and changed the battery. That's on the
generator at the bottom.
Okay, that's what I thought.
So, and that battery was pooched, eh?
Yeah. And it was covered under warranty.
Oh, perfect.
And this haul the dead deer away. Did Fish and Wildlife come up with this one?
No, I called them after the first one. There was three in about a 10-day span, I think, that he picked up. And I called them with the first one and said, you know, I've got this dead deer. Do you need us to do anything special? Do you need to come pick it up? And he said, honestly, no. The wasting disease is so prevalent in this area. He said, just dispose of it as you would. So... And then we had another one, and then another one, too. So, but he was not concerned at all when I called him. So
what do we do with it?
I don't know what he does with them. I did not ask. Pick them up and hold them somewhere. I don't know if he takes them to the...
I don't think they'll take them at the landfill, so... So they must be buried, I guess. But it is. That is pretty bad around here.
Yeah, and it's just like... walked up on front lawns and just fell asleep and didn't get up.
Well.
Kind of sad.
Okay. Any questions on the public works report? Okay. The administrator's report.
So I'm going to take a few minutes just to go through it, just so I understand it.
Yeah, for sure.
The AMWWP grant account, and that is for, obviously, the expense, but what was that for? Or was AMWWP?
That's the Alberta Water Wastewater Management.
Alberta Municipal Wastewater.
Yeah, Alberta Municipal Water and Wastewater. It was a grant that we got for the water plant upgrades and everything.
Okay,
like that.
That's
yeah.
What I... All right. Yeah. ACF loan?
That's the Alberta Capital Finance loan.
Okay.
That we had to take out in order to meet our percentage of the AMWWP grant. So
oh, okay.
We had to... they funded 75% of the project, and we had to...
Okay. And the CCBF grant?
That
I'm just all these acronyms and.
Canadian. Oh my gosh. CCBF. I don't know. Canadian. The Canada Community Building Fund.
And what's that grant for?
That one is for, so I have to put in project applications every year in order to access the grant funding, and that one is for infrastructure, so
okay.
For water upgrades, sewer upgrades.
The road?
Repairs.
Sidewalks?
Yeah, just anything
okay.
Like that, whatever our projects are for the year, but that's mostly infrastructure-based projects.
And the rest, I figured out myself.
And as you can see, our CAO is always very busy. Kate, can I get someone to make a motion to accept Public Works and the Administrator's Report?
I'll make a motion.
Sue, thank you. All in favor? Carried.
I was going to ask you about that, the railway. Sorry.
Yeah.
I got an email back pretty quickly from them saying that they were aware of the fire in Barrons, that Carmody is the top of their list for removal, and it will be done by the end of the calendar year. And then last week, Sue and I were chatting after work, and we could hear clang, clang, clang. So we drove over. I drove over there, and they're unloading, what did you say it was, the metal ties?
It was
ties?
The metal ties. But they were over there this morning picking them up. When I walked today,
oh, perfect.
They brought in more cars that are full of ties.
Okay.
But they had some trucks backed in, and they're picking up the metal ones. So I'm thinking they're doing it bit at a time.
Okay.
So we'll see where the...
So they did not get an email back from my second email saying, hold on here, like, you told me you were moving this stuff
and
out, not stockpiling more.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah, cause that was just last week, I think.
It was just the other day.
Yeah.
And it looked like they were, well, maybe they were unloading them when I seen them. I thought they were loading them up.
Hopefully.
Yeah. It's just scary what happened in Barrons.
Yeah.
So thank you for
And when you
that.
Look at the overview, like some of Norm Baum's drone shots were right over top of there, and Scott sent them to me, and they're like closer than here to the wall from the seat cleaning plant.
Yeah.
Like, if those ignited, that whole, it would just go off.
They're gone.
Bomb. Like, it would be done. So,
yeah.
Yeah. We really need them.
Not great placement.
Not really, no.
Okay, do we have any correspondence?
I do. I just got it today. So, this is just from the Old Man Regional River Services Commission announcing that they have hired a new Chief Administrative Officer. Her name is Tracy Thomas, and she comes from the town of Fort Smith, Northwest Territories. And she's starting, effective January 12th. So, she'll be the new CAO for us.
Mm.
That's the only correspondence I've got.
Okay, can we go to the financial reports, if anyone has anything on that?
I jumped ahead of some questions.
Oh, that's okay. As you're asking them, I noticed the MSI operating grant is actually now the LGFF, so the Local Government Fiscal Framework Grant. Same with the top MSI top.
And what do we use that grant for?
So the operating grant we use for daily operations. That just kind of goes into the general account.
Oh, okay. So
we do have it in. I have separate bank accounts for every single grant, and then as we need it for operations, we'll pull it out of that account. Mm-hmm. For the LGFF capital, those are capital upgrades. So that would be water, wastewater. Last year we did the paving and the sidewalks. Actually this year, but it was last year's project. The other project that I've got on the books for that one is upgrades to the teepee rings and any parks around town, like for garbage cans or the bathroom upgrades, the camp kitchen upgrades, like anything like that that we need. The other big portion of it is for water, wastewater. So we're doing an infrastructure management plan with MPE, the engineers that did the water plant. So they're coming in and they're scoping our sewer lines, or they're hiring out to scope all of our sewer lines. They're going to give us an assessment on the status of the lines, how old they are, how damaged they are, how great they are, like whatever, and then kind of make us a plan moving forward over the next 10 years of what priority needs we have. So that would be water, wastewater, the sewage lagoon, the lift station. They're also going to look at drainage issues around town, like if we have any roads that need to be maybe fixed up and rebuilt or sloped differently. That's the big part of that grant for this year. So
perfect.
Yeah. We haven't seen the money yet, but it was just approved a couple weeks ago. So.
Thanks.
I think that's
finally official down here.
Hmm.
Yeah. October 8th, I got approval. That's been since like March.
I have a question on the budget stuff.
Yeah.
Under the cemetery for revenue, we're minus $1,000.
We are minus $1,000 because it's actually it's a McLeod. It's a relative of Jeff's parents, but they purchased a family plot that they thought was beside where his parents are buried, but it's like a row over and up, and so he didn't want it. And there's space in the original family plot where the grandparents, great-grandparents are buried. And so he asked if he could sell back his family plot that he had purchased years ago or a couple years ago, and then just be in the regular family plot. So we're in the hole for the cemetery this year because we had to refund him for the purchase price of the plot.
Okay. I was like, that's weird.
It is weird, yes. Good eye.
And the other one was admin other.
That one.
We had budgeted 500, but we're at 7,800.
I pulled up the GL.
No, that's under expense.
Expense. I opened it on that Wi-Fi. Admin
other.
It's 2-12-206.
Okay, sorry, I was looking at it. Mm. Okay, I have it highlighted, actually. I was going through this tonight to look at different things. So, for some reason, the Carnegie and District grant from the Community Foundation got put into that account, and it shouldn't have been. So, I'm marking all of the transactions that I have to put in the right spot. So, that is what
I'm doing. Okay. I was just like, I don't like dump accounts, so I was like, how do you go from 500 to...
Yeah. And the other thing that's in there is the actual balance of it is $44.95, and that was for the summer students' last day of work, Pizza Hut lunch. We always buy the summer students' lunch on their last day, so that's all that should be in there.
And then they came up one other day to help after she was done?
She did. She came for the community cleanup day, so we just paid her $20 an hour flat rate to come and help.
I think that was all my questions.
Mm-hmm.
On my notes.
Any questions, Sue?
No? Still learning to read it.
Okay, if I can get a motion to accept the financial sheet as presented.
I'm watching. Oh, go ahead, Kim.
Who spoke first? She can have it.
You put up your hand at the same
time. You going to do it, Sue?
Yeah, I motion to accept, sorry.
Okay.
Financial statement.
All in favor? Carried. Okay, old business. Bylaw, 858, road closure bylaw.
Okay, so... this came back very, very fast. The county said it could take up to a year to get the minister to approve this road closure bylaw, and it was like maybe a week, and I got it back. So, anyways, so that means that it's been stamped by the Minister of Transport and Economic Corridors, and we can pass second and third reading tonight if council chooses, and then the next step after that would be to let our surveyor know that the bylaw has received all three readings, and then they will draft the land title documents that we need to send to land titles, and then once that's all registered, then it's considered closed. So
do you want to close the road? We're moving to close a road, basically the southwest corner of Carmengay, just this side of G3, just north of G3, and just east of that farm, that little acreage with the red.
Oh, okay.
The corner lots. We closed the back alley so that, or the road allowance.
G3 is here. Mm-hmm. This is the road coming into G3.
Okay.
And this is the village line. And the red house is here.
Yeah.
And so there's this property here. We want to consolidate these two separate lots. So
there's a road going.
So that there's a
there's a road. It can be. Oh,
yeah. It's actually an alleyway technically.
Yeah. Okay.
So that was
what
this is for.
Thanks.
You've seen this.
Okay. And we haven't received any feedback from
nobody.
When it went out. Okay.
Nope.
Okay, well...
a few questions. I did get some questions, but no written objections, no nothing. So.
Okay, I... someone want to do second reading of Bylaw 858?
Okay, Bylaw 858, a bylaw of the Village of Carmengay for the purpose of closing the public travel and creating Title II and disposing of portions of a public highway in accordance with Section 22 of the Municipal Government Act, Chapter M26, Revised Statutes of Alberta 2000 as amended. Now therefore be it resolved that the Council of the Village of Carmengay does hereby close to public travel and creating Title II and disposing of the following described highways subject to rights of access granted by the legislation. Do I need to read that portion?
Maybe just the plan.
Okay. Plan 3103AB, Block 21, all that portion of lane forming part of Lot 37, Block 21, Plan 251, containing 0.084 hectares or 0.208 acres, more or less, accepting thereout all mine and minerals.
Okay.
Read as second reading this 28th day of October.
All in favor? Okay, can I ask someone for third reading of bylaw 858?
Sure. Do the same thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Village of Carmody bylaw number 858, a bylaw of the Village of Carmody for the purpose of closing to public travel and creating title to and disposing of portions of a public highway in accordance with section 22 of the Municipal Government Act, chapter M26, revised statutes. Thank you. Alberta, words just not road. Of Alberta 2000 as amended. And then just down to the now therefore.
Yep.
Now therefore, it be resolved that the Council of the Village of Carmody in the province of Alberta does hereby close to public travel in creating title to and disposing of the following described highways subject to rights of access granted by other legislation. Plan 3103AB, Block 21. All that portion of lane forming part of Lot 27, Block 21, Plan 251, containing 0.084 hectares or 0.208 acres, more or less, excepting thereof all mines and minerals.
Any discussion? Okay, all in favor? Carried. Okay, old business LGFF grant.
I finally heard that all of our projects were approved as applied for as of October 8th. So we've already started the IMP, the Infrastructure Master Plan project. So that one's rolling. The parks upgrades will have to be put off till next spring, obviously, because of weather, I'm assuming. And the And the water, just upgrades to the water as well. So any water repairs or anything that we've been doing, water meters, things like that, that's also another project.
Okay. Roving Energy Manager Grant.
This has been a painful process. I finally got a response from a local heating company. They're going to come out and meet with me and get kind of a quote together for the shop to get either a radiant heater or some sort of heater in the office and in the bathroom so that the doors can stay closed and the shop isn't heating everything. And then hopefully they can assess the heating setup in the shop right now and see if it's adequate and doing what it's needed. Because right now we have two furnaces running in the shop, and I'm just curious if they have a better, efficient, more efficient way to do that.
Sure, there
is. And then the other part is to do new weather stripping around the big garage door and then the man doors to keep cold air from blowing in.
So. Perfect.
And the grant is for $10,000, so that's our budget. Like, I'm not planning to spend any extra money on it, so I'm just looking for them to... Oh, and the other part was smart thermostats. So that will can be either programmable or learn the patterns of the shop or however they do them, so that the furnace isn't running all night and wasting gas. But it's taking forever to get anybody to come out with the quotes. So.
Okay, fire hydrant policy.
So this one is still on pause because the flow testing that we had done last fall did not do the flow testing with the fire pump operating. Didn't know that at the time. Didn't realize that it was. I've never done fire hydrant flow testing before, so we basically got a report that says all of our things are 60 PSI, which is not accurate. Doug Hedrick noticed it when I sent it to him and said, hold on a second, this, you should have way better pressures than this. So I did talk to MPE about possibly if there's money left at the end of our project, is doing proper flow testing on our hydrants within the IMB grant, so we're not having to take that out of taxpayer money twice. But it also impacts the fire rating that we have for the insurance companies for people in town, because up until our fire pump was installed, we had a very low fire rating because we didn't have fire suppression capabilities across the whole village, or adequate fire suppression is what they called it. So with all the upgrades, Doug sent in all of the information to the fire underwriters, and I still had a ratepayer come in and ask why his insurance won't recognize, like, what's wrong with our fire suppression? And I said, well, nothing. We've got everything upgraded, but the flow rate test that we had done didn't recognize that because it wasn't done with the pump press. So I apologize on that one because I did not know any better.
Yeah, none of us did either.
Nobody else. Nope. Like, the guy didn't say, oh, make sure your fire pump's on when I turn on your fire hydrant.
You would think he would.
You would think he would. I don't know. So, it was, I'm a little frustrated with that whole company to begin with. But, anyways, so that's what that is.
Okay. Land use bylaw amendment proposal.
Okay, so this is back to the secondary suites in garages, backyards, etc. So Steve Hardy, I have booked him to come out to our next council meeting. I didn't want to slam it in tonight because I thought it would be a long discussion. So he will be at the November 18th council meeting to discuss and present options for this amendment.
Okay.
Briefly, what is the amendment?
So we had a ratepayer come in asking to put basically like a mother-in-law suite in his garage, but right now our land use bylaw doesn't approve any secondary suite outside of your house, your primary residence. So we looked into it a little bit. I talked to Horse, and they sent some examples of other municipalities that do allow them, whether it's like upstairs of a garage, main floor of a garage, and like a
standalone
shed kind of out in the backyard sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So there's a bunch of different options. It just kind of depends.
And there's a bunch of things in place so we don't just have a...
Because right now he came in with a proposal and we said, no, you can't do that, sorry. So he said, well... what do I have to do to be able to do that? So this is the process.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay. F, infrastructure master plan project.
So we kind of already went over this. I'm still waiting to hear from the people that bought the land just north of the lagoon whether or not contractors can cut the fence and drive up there with their machinery or their trucks rather than walk. Haven't heard back from him. And they are putting out to tender right now the scoping portion for the sewer line. So they're going to different companies that do this and getting bids on the project basically for us. So MPE is doing this. So the CCTV scoping of the sewer, they're going to hydrovac various parts of town to investigate our water line to see if they match what we have on Orst, because there is a water line on our map that goes from the corner of where the crypto is actually proposed. And somewhere across the whole area and up to Camp Carmagee. But the only water line that we're aware of that goes to Camp Carmagee goes up Prairie. So I said, well, that's one I would like to investigate because if it's there, we don't know that it's there. Yeah. Nobody knows it's there, but it's on the map, so I don't know how it got on the map. Like, who would have given that information to put it into the mapping system? So there's a few different places around town that they wanted to hydrovac, see what shape the lines are in, how big they are.
Some of our maps were done with pencil crayons. And Best Guess. So that's this grant that we are doing the project to try to have actuals instead of Best Guess.
Yeah. I guess it's all, yeah, so it's to look at the quality of the infrastructure, but also to get, yeah, I totally missed that part, an actual map of what's in the ground and where it is in the ground.
So down the road, this council or even future council has a question of, can we do this? We will know exactly
where everything, like, and you really do want to know what's
And they'll also give us future capacity plans, too. So if we wanted to expand wherever, like, can we do that? What do we have to do to bring it up to high capacity?
For example, one of the areas we've always told you can't develop on is that east end of Carmengay, because it just gets told, whether it's true or not, that you need a lift station to get the sewer to the lift station, that the ground is too low. So this capacity study helps identify whether it's just the tradition that continues on, or or if you can actually expand.
Who wants to land there?
That was somebody's idea 40 years ago.
Yeah. Well, and they just relied on their memory.
Yeah. And that still do. Like,
and still do.
Still do. We have questions, and they go around asking. Do you remember what you did here?
Nope.
What size is the line in there? Well, I think it's 2 inches. Okay.
We had a group of guys that got together, and we put this line in on the weekend. Yeah. And that's how they used to do it.
That's how they used to do it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. New business. Recreation vehicle and trailer parking.
Okay. So this has been an ongoing issue. I've gotten multiple complaints in the village over the summer and even last winter over trailers parking in front of houses on the boulevard, not on the road, they're not on the roadway, but they're on the grassy boulevard. So there was two in particular that were causing a lot of problems that we'd had multiple complaints about. So bylaw came in, she went and talked to both of them, and then came into the office, looked through all the bylaws and said, have nothing prohibiting parking trailers on the boulevard. So you can't park a vehicle on the roadway for more than 48 hours without moving it, but that's the roadway, not the grassy boulevard. And the grassy boulevard is public village-owned property. It's not private property, so it's kind of a gray area. And so my question to council is, do you want to work on an amendment to the community standards bylaw that prohibits long-term parking of trailers on boulevards, or do we just let it go?
I say yes, because you guys last year, you guys, village, put in a bylaw about how many trailers you can have on your property and stuff like that. So then you're going to get maybe them just throwing all on the bylaw or the thing instead. So maybe.
I thought that was what part of
it.
Yeah.
I would like to see something put in. But then again, maybe there's something we can do to take these trailers off. I wonder if we look into that area for
the trailer parking? Yeah.
Any insurance required, or usually it's I know a lot of these trailer parks, like I know when Brett put his in a park over there, he had to go on his own insurance. There was no extra insurance required.
Okay.
I don't know, what do you think?
I think that they shouldn't be at boulevard parking. I honestly assumed that when we put that bylaw in last year, that policy,
that it covered
included it.
Nope, they just can't sweep in it for more than so many nights a year. They can't have more than two on their property, and it's not a living. Because I pulled that one out. I pulled out community standards. Gabby looked through all of them. The other issue, and it's not all over town, it's most noticeable, like, on a few different streets, but there is people who park on the boulevard. But any new residents have to have, like any new development, they have to have off-street parking on their own property. Okay. So I don't know if it's something worth considering that we do like a staged sort of education program and then like in a year or so start enforcing it, but to have people stop parking on the boulevard, period. Vehicles, trailers, boats, whatever. Like, short-term, drive up, park, run into the house, whatever. But we have a few that use that as their parking spots. And
for cars in.
Yeah. And it makes it hard for Public Works to mow. It makes it hard for Public Works to clear snow.
And it looks, and kill the grass.
Yeah. And you can see where people do park all the time versus where they don't on the boulevard. So.
Well, I think we need to look at that and adjust the bylaw to cover it. But.
And not to say, like, oh, ticket everybody right this second. I think it needs to be a phased
approach. Yep, I agree.
Sure,
yep.
But educate it first.
Yeah. And give people time to put in a parking spot in their back alley or whatever. Because
yeah,
I think every single
solution for themselves.
Yeah, yeah, every resident has. And like, and even maybe we offer a discount on gravel if they're putting in a parking pad in the back alley and give them like $10 off a load or something. I don't know, just to incentivize people to.
I like that idea.
Park off the
board. Yeah. Park we're trying to help you. We're not just poo-pooing what you're doing.
Yeah.
We want to try and help you. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it would be a little better perception if, like you said, try to help them. Mm-hmm.
I like that.
With the SmackDown.
Yeah.
No, that's good. So I guess we'll look into it and then.
I need to bring back a, like a draft at the next.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. And do we add it to the one, the bylaw we passed, or does it go to community standards?
If it goes to land use, okay, so what the suggestion from bylaw was to amend community standards because then our bylaw officers can enforce it. If it's under the land use bylaw, then it's the whole stop order process, and then it goes to court, and then it's a, it's a longer involved process. So
okay.
I would say if you want the ability to ticket, then you want to do it under the community standards bylaw rather than the land use bylaw.
Okay.
I agree.
Okay. How do you feel with that, Sue?
I do, Agreed. Yeah, and it's much easier, right, rather than going through a whole legal...
It is, yeah.
Okay, new business. Council remuneration and mileage bylaw update.
So this is the one that I apologize. I put the wrong one in the agenda. So, and this is completely up to you guys, but this one was passed in 2013 and has not been touched since. So the one thing that I know that has really increased is mileage. And some of the other communities that I looked into, they, everybody pays a little bit more than what our bylaw is, but a couple do the CRA rate. So just kind of every year, like it would just be every year would change, rather than having to amend the bylaw every year to change the mileage payment. The other suggestion, I know a lot of small town councillors don't like to claim their monthly remuneration and their per meeting fees. But in our CAO meeting in the spring, one of the CAOs suggested that council take the payment for whatever you've worked, and if you don't want to keep it, then you can donate it either back to the village for a tax-deductible receipt or donate it to another community organization for a tax-deductible receipt, and then it's kind of win-win for everybody. But one of the concerns, because we're not the only council that doesn't, that everybody doesn't take pay, but one of the concerns was in the future, it might be an expectation to future councillors that, oh, well, you can run, you don't want to take pay. Like, you know, nobody in the past did, so you're not wanted to. When I feel you all work very hard and you should be rewarded for all of the effort you put into running the village. I mean, that's my 2 cents. But, we were discussing this at our CAO meeting last month and it came up that it's not just Carnegie that has questions about council pay. So I don't have a drafted bylaw or anything because I didn't know if that was worth pursuing, if you guys wanted to update it or change it, or if you're happy with how it is right now.
Well, it's not only yes, but I think we've got to think about it. So I think it's going to, like, it's going to be going in for future.
Yeah. And I do budget for it every year. So, I mean, there is money in the budget for paying for different things. So.
Well, I think they should take it, and then that way you can turn around and donate it and get a tax receipt for it.
Yep. If that's, yeah, if you...
So for the, how do you, like you said, some do the CRA rate. Mm-hmm. How do you just in your kilometer rate for travel as per the CRA rate instead of what
it just says,
like
current
ours says 55 cents a kilometer.
So there says the mileage is the current CRA automobile allowance. So.
And I think that's fair because that. Exactly, you don't have to change it all the time, but it follows, it's following just, a standard.
That and then you get hit inflation and whatever, like, because I think it goes up a cent or two every year almost, it seems like, so, But everybody's pretty similar with the per meeting, so between $50 and $55 per meeting. Accommodations and meals are all... Both that have that in their bylaw just say with receipts. There's no cap. So the one CIO was like, well, we might want to look into that one because there should probably be a cap in there.
Somebody's going to abuse
Somebody
that.
Might abuse it. Yes, exactly. So
I actually got asked on the weekend what, because of course elections just happened and everything's public, and I was up at Rocky, and some of their counselors make $13,000 a month. And the one counselor made $104,000 last year.
County
counselors.
Wow.
I was like, how do you...
Wow.
I said, that's like half our budget. How do you...
You guys would blow the budget with three of you.
Holy Dinah.
I think
it's
$194 or $196 an hour for to attend anything. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's like, what do you get? We get $55 a meeting. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they're long-winded or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of blown away.
Well, Stephanie sent me a couple different things. She said someone was comparing the village, their village, to the town and the county.
Okay.
The rates that their counselors make, and I was like, that is not a fair comparison.
No.
You cannot expect to even touch that.
Like, no.
Especially the county. And when I when this will open, because it's so slow tonight, the county is like...
Yeah, I know Lori does all right, but I know she never puts mileage in if she has to get groceries or something like that.
Yeah.
She'll never. So, but it's most do, I think.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, like... But their tax base is huge.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
It's just not even comparable.
Absolutely.
Perspective.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
Well, I think we should.
So I can draft something. Like, I just need to know where to go with it. Do you want?
I would be okay with it as it is, other than the kilometer rate, that CRA thing you put in. I don't know. Do you guys want more per meeting? Do you want to put more in?
Just for comparison, our MPC committee member, like our public committee members, they make $50 per meeting for the MPC. So that's just as a comparison. Like
well,
I think everything's pretty generous, but just for to alleviate 5 years from now or 2 years from now or whatever that the kilometer rate is too low, I would just go with right. Matching something, right? Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't even think we'd go pay.
Oh my God!
Well,
somebody asked me that. I have no idea. I guess I should ask more questions. Where to put my hand up?
So the town can even give a tax receipt.
That's
they wouldn't have to go to a nonprofit.
No, that's what the one CAO said, is that the villages can provide a tax-deductible donation receipt. And I will, if that's something you guys want to do, I will confirm that and look into it more carefully.
Yeah, please.
But
Okay. C, Alberta Municipalities Conference.
Okay, so this is coming up in November. It's a 3-day conference in Calgary, and no one's ever attended since I've been around, so I just want to throw it out to the council. If there's interest in attending, it is not cheap, unfortunately, but
there's a lot of great information.
Yeah, and I mean, I've gotten so many invitations from all the different companies, like Fortis and ATV and all the different companies we deal with, inviting us to their socials and stuff. So, I mean, like, for free all week, too, I think. I don't know. I can get pricing here. Because they did extend the registration date longer than they normally do, just because of the election.
So that looks like it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday?
Yeah. So it's $825 a person because we missed the early bird pricing, which was October 24th. So. And then hotels. And I don't have that budgeted in travel or anything for this year, but sold extra lots that I didn't budget for either, so we have to, I don't know.
Is it a worthwhile thing? I'm having trouble hearing you guys. The band goes on and on.
Do you want?
Yeah.
Come over here.
But I don't want
yeah.
to bug Sheila.
Come
right here. So just come around.
Come sit on my phone.
If it's a worthwhile thing,
come on,
to go to.
Lay down here.
I can. Well, no, we're good. Now I can. I'm in front of you guys. Now I can hear you. Then I could go and I could stay at my daughter's at Strathmore.
There's a lot of good information, and like to hear some of the ministers talk and stuff like that. It's a great way to network with other people. I haven't gone the last few years. I didn't go this last term, but it's a great experience, and you learn. Well, like I didn't know that the first time I went, I didn't know we qualified for the MSI funding. So everybody's talking about all this money that they're getting, and I was like, how come we don't get it? And they're like, oh, no, you get it. And then when I came back and I was asking the CEO at the time, they're like, oh, the forms are in the file cabinet. We just didn't do anything with them because they didn't understand what it was about and how much money you could get.
Mm.
But, like, there's just, and they have, like, different courses that you could take or breakout sessions, and there's a lot of good information.
Well,
it can be a bit overwhelming, but
but if it's not budgeted for this year, maybe even next year. Like I go.
Do they do a spring one too?
No, RMA does.
Oh, okay.
The county does. So 1 year it's in Calgary, the next year it's in Edmonton. Like they alternate back and forth. So.
So 2 years from now, I'll go when it's back in Calgary.
I got a place to stay.
You used to take like that course that you guys took. They had courses there.
Okay.
With like elected official and your roles and responsibilities, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. They offered those there as well. And then if you have like a project that you are big on, like water, wastewater, then there's contractors there or engineering firms. You can talk to people. I know when Larray and I were on before, we talked to Fortis about getting our lights switched out to LEDs, like way back in the day, but it was way too cost prohibitive at that time.
Yeah.
And Sheila and I have gone together before. Like, there's a lot of good information. But
yeah, being brand new, I probably wouldn't even know what I was listening to, and I'd be overwhelmed anyways. But
okay.
I've never gone.
If you got if one or both or whatever, if you guys want to go, Kelly will keep selling lots.
You know what?
You
want to
go?
Yeah, I can stay at Brett's.
Okay. Do you want to go see? To learn?
Yeah.
Yeah?
What the heck? Let's do it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I can stay at my daughter's too. And then, yeah. Heck yeah.
And they give you freebies. You get a lot of pens and sticky notes. My kids used to love that. I'd come back with all the stuff.
Convention.
Yeah. Okay. Lanyards.
And bring back all the information. Yeah. I love all the
people. We'll have to do a report.
Yeah. Perfect. Okay, I will register you guys.
Okay, D. Delay.
So I just need a motion that we're delaying Kim's Part 2 training until Saturday to allow. I probably should have been the first motion of the meeting.
I move we delay Kim's municipal training till Saturday.
Any abstain?
All in favor? Carried.
Sure. Okay.
And that's in Lethbridge.
And she did do her Part 1 training today.
Okay, and you're going?
I'm hoping to go. I haven't got confirmation yet, but yeah.
Hopefully. It'd be good for first, like all the CAOs that were there. I think they're really getting.
I hope so.
Okay, reports. ORSC. That was Sue, right?
Yep, I
so
we
went. Okay. Marquis?
Marquis, they have just received some potentially good news that about their grant application for moving ahead with the new building.
Really?
I think. I was not really 100% certain if it's just on the, try again.
Oh.
Rah-rah. I'm not sure.
Because I thought it was shut.
Yeah. Huh. So, and they've had an issue with bed bugs. They had, you know how they have, they have respite beds, so people come. And they've been very well received, people recovering from surgery or short-term, whatever, but they had an individual come and they brought bed bugs with them, so they had a heck of a time getting rid of them, but the staff and Orkin and them, they worked really hard, and they've got rid of them, so we did give the cleaning staff and Gloria and that a bonus for going above and beyond to get rid of the bed bugs.
Wow.
Because,
easy to get.
Yeah. And so then it was do you shut down your respite beds? Because they never had, we've never had that before. But the respite beds are really being well received. So.
Okay. Vulcan and District Solid Waste.
Nothing new.
Okay. South Grow, I think I gave the report last time. Didn't I?
We
had our presentation tonight, which is basically what our last meeting. Twin Valley.
That report's on the next page.
Okay. Mayors and Reeds.
I didn't make it to the October meeting.
Okay. V-Crimp hasn't had a meeting.
No, that's next Thursday.
FCSS, I did not attend. And Vulcan County Communications will be next Thursday also, right?
I don't know that it is. I have it on my calendar, but I also got an email that said that it is in the spring. So I'm going to confirm. I talked to Nels at lunch. He was wondering who our new rep was, and so I will ask him.
So usually what happens with VCRAM, which is the Emergency Partnership One, is they will have that meeting, then they will have supper, and then they will go into the communication meeting after. So you would also attend that.
And that's all the CAOs and councils from the whole county that go, and then everybody just talks.
And I think at the communication, I think all the council can go.
Yeah. So next Thursday the 6th is the local authority elected officials Alberta Emergency Management course. and I don't have the time, but I believe it's a full-day course. Nell said if you're the rep again, no, it's for everybody. But if you and Kim have already taken the course, you don't have to, unless you want to.
I haven't taken it yet.
Okay. And I said I was pretty sure that you wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
So, but Sue, he said you can take it in person that day, or he can arrange for you to take it through, like, Zoom or something if you can't make it on Thursday.
I'm just looking. I can't make it. It's the 6th?
The 6th.
Yeah. No, I can make it.
You can make that? Okay, yeah. Perfect. I will confirm time tomorrow because I just have to call him anyway and let him know if he's coming. So if you want to go to Doug, I can let him know. Okay.
So that's, of course, the emergency partnership meeting, and then the...
So, you'll have the course during the day, and then the Vulcan County Regional Emergency Management Committee meeting is at 4:30.
Okay.
And then I will confirm the county communications meeting, whether that's happening or not.
Because that's been postponed twice now, right?
Yeah, because we had it in Vulcan the last time at the...
And they're supposed to, once was supposed to be in Milo, and that one was canceled.
Yeah.
And then, Lomond, I think, was supposed to be.
We were supposed to have it, and then it snowed out last
spring.
Fall.
Oh, maybe that's what it was.
Spring?
And
spring or fall, yeah. I think ours got snowed out last
year.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, I will let him know that both of you will attend the training. And
that's Thursday, November
the 6th.
Yeah.
November 6th. Okay. I'll have to find out. When, I guess Mayor and Reeves, they'll start sending me stuff now, right?
Yes.
Can you send me this? Contact information?
Jill,
yeah, I don't think I have. I never get anything from them. So.
Now, that one you can always do Zoom, right? Okay?
Yes.
Because that's
Shall
what
we send
I did
the link?
Last
time. Yes, you've done that before.
I would just soon do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I guess we need to go into a closed session for some third-party business interests. Thank you for coming,
Sheila. Thank you, Sheila, and thank you for putting your name forward.
Yes, appreciate that. You need a motion.
I'll make a motion that we go into closed session at 8:42.
All in favor? Carried.